anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Well, here we are, Sam again.
Yep, I'm back. And yes, this album is celebrating an anniversary. 50 years, in fact. The Kinks, Something Else
Excuse
by The Kinks.
Me.
Going all the way back to 1967, Summer of Love, and, you know, swinging 60s.
Is that when people were doing it?
That's when people were doing it. Doing a lot of things, actually.
Cool.
But yeah, the Kinks, they formed in 1964 in a suburb in North London called Muswell Hill. And they consisted of Ray Davies on vocals and rhythm guitar, his brother Dave Davies on lead guitar, Peter Quaife on bass guitar, and Mick Avery on drums. And they were part of the kind of London beat scene and the so-called British invasion of bands that went to America and kind of took off big time. Obviously, we all know who these bands are, The Animals, The Who, The Beatles, The Stones. And yeah, they were very successful. They were pumping out big hits during the 60s, classic tracks that we all know as well. You Really Got Me, All Day and All the Night, Sunny Afternoon. And this was proving a very successful formula for them, which Ray Davies, the principal songwriter in the band, decided to actually change in 1966 with the recording of this album. So what happened was, during the making of this album, relations began to break down with their original producer, Shel Talmy, who was kind of big on these hits and this kind of straightforward pop sound. And with this, Ray Davies wanted more control of the band's sound and the production of this album, and he wanted to take the group in quite a different direction than they'd been going in before. Lyrically, he wanted to write more kind of storybook-styled songs, not simple kind of throwaway pop songs. He wanted to write songs that dealt with English themes and stories and culture and kind of more personal themes, which the Kinks would continue on for the next few albums well into the 70s. And yeah, he basically wanted to break with the American scene and return to his English roots. So with this, he sort of stopped Americanizing his accent and he began singing in an almost kind of slightly camp British accent at times. And he kind of, you know, put on mock English accents as well. And in connection with this musically, the album would see this kind of, you know, see them experimenting with kind of vaudeville and baroque pop and music hall and these kind of British kind of musics.
So you're saying he's a bit of a troll?
Yeah,
bit of a troll.
I guess you could say that, yeah, because, you know, he was kind of, if you throw into that kind of fact, it was interesting because everyone else at this time was going down that psychedelic route, but the Kinks managed to carve out a niche for themselves by going down this kind of rock pop style, something that commercially speaking might not have helped them initially, but long term would prove, you know, quite futile. It was also interesting at the time that they were going down this direction, they were actually banned from playing concerts in the United States.
Cute.
The American Federation of Musicians cut them off from playing in the US, but also selling their records there. Basically, you couldn't find a Kinks album if you tried in the States at the time.
That's just mad as hell.
Because basically they were rowdy on stage, louts, I guess you could
say.
Naughty Englishmen coming over here causing a ruckus. And, you know, we can't have good old American teenagers, you know.
Well, the first time that happened, you know, well, they got colonized.
Exactly, true. So basically this helped Ray Davies and the band kind of, you know, return to their English roots and their English audiences. So let's start with the opening track on the album.
Okay.
It's called David Watts. And immediately you can see the change in the band's music, particularly lyrically. And this track is about a schoolboy, actually. It's based on a true story. It's about a schoolboy called David Watts who lives a very charmed life and everyone wants to be like him and go out with him. And like, it's based on a real person, but not a schoolboy, but a gay concert promoter, actually.
So like the Cedric Diggory of the music scene.
Yes,
at the time.
That's a very good analogy, actually.
I can never stop and, yeah, just reverting back to Harry Potter.
Maybe Cedric, okay. Maybe David Watts was an inspiration on J.K. Rowling and that Cedric Diggory.
Yes, maybe.
Perhaps.
This is the master.
Nice and smooth.
Fa 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 fa.
I could be like David Watts.
Wish I could be like, 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 I wish I could be like.
Once by the Kinks, our anniversary album for this week, and yeah, I will be joining. Sam Smith will be talking more about the Kinks after this. Also, a controversial opinion, Sam.
Go for gold.
The Jam's version is better, according to one listener who texted in.
Very controversial, yeah. And the Jam covered that song on All Mod Cons. It's a good version.
You agree?
Yeah, but I think I don't know if I can beat the
you
original.
You like them both.
I like them both, but yeah.
Oh, you're very diplomatic.
We might beg to differ on that one.
All right, more from Sam after this.
About Time. Soccer Practice's album and video release show is November 24th at the Golden Dawn. After spending forever in student radio top tens, performing Moana Maniapoto's Tahi at the APRA Silver Scrolls, and being generally great, the multimedia experience of a band are out with their debut album. Soccer Practice, album and video release. Golden Dawn, November 24th. Just $10 on the door. Album out November 26th.
Prepare for intimacy. An evening alone with Lawrence Arabia. Through November at multiple venues. Do your hair up nice, deodorise your shoes, and put on your special undies. You've got a date with Lawrence Arabia.
Young man, feeling old.
The flaxen haired troubadour himself. Close and personal. An evening alone with Lawrence Arabia. Titirangi RSA, November 7th. Golden Dawn, November 14th and 15th. The Vic Devonport, November 21st. Tickets from Under the Radar.
Questions are all around us.
Why do you yawn when other people yawn?
Learn.
Why am I going bald?
Learn.
What is the Matrix?
Learn.
Is BFM still relevant?
Learn.
Where'd I put my keys?
Here.
Magnets, how do they work?
Learn.
Find out all the answers with Ready, Steady, Learn. Every Tuesday morning with a guest expert from the University of Auckland. Ready, Steady, Learn. 9:40 every Tuesday on 95BFM Breakfast.
Kia ora everyone, if you just tuned in, this is Morning Glory with Geneva, and we're doing anniversary albums, The Kinks.
Something Else by The Kinks.
Something Else by The Kinks, right.
1967. So the next track we're going to play is the sixth track on the album. It's called Tin Soldier Man, and again on this one you can hear the musical change the band were undertaking. There's lots of horns on this track. Musically it has the feel of an old traditional British marching band, and I guess this makes a lot of sense given the track is called Tin Soldier Man.
Uniform tie.
If you didn't get that, that song was called Tin Shoulder Man.
Tin
Shoulder Man, was
Solder
it?
Man.
No, Solder.
Solder
Man.
Yeah, Solder.
Solder?
Solder?
Anyway, sorry, I'm just joshing. I'm joshing about.
Yeah, so that was Tin Soldier Man. And the next track we're going to play is more kind of, I guess, like the early Kinks, more rocky, more R&B based, and with kind of keyboard, with, you know, particularly in the keyboard playing and also keyboard. heavy drum track. It's called Situation Vacant.
Keyboard. Hello everybody, we're looking at the Kinks. That was Situation Vacant from the album Something Else by the Kinks from 1967. Yeah, thanks to those of you who have been calling up and texting in. It's been nice to hear your opinion. And just, I guess, generally, how much you love the
we
Kinks.
We had a big fan on the phone just then.
Yes, great.
And yeah, so the next track we're going to listen to is called Afternoon Tea. And this is a good example of the type of songwriting that Ray Davies would become best known for, kind of nice, reflective storytelling songs, very British themes like drinking tea, having afternoon tea, eating scones, combined with, I guess, music hall style instrumentation.
Very comfy things.
It is, very comfy things. You know, it just warms the cockles of your heart.
Tea time won't be the same without banana. That's where we used to meet each day, and then we used to sit a while, drink our afternoon tea. I'll take afternoon tea,
afternoon tea,
if you take it with me,
afternoon tea,
you take as long as you like. I like you, girl.
Tea.
Afternoon tea.
So catchy. Why are they so catchy? What did they do?
It's just like a magic formula.
They just found like the golden ratio and they just ran with it.
You know, playing tripped out psychedelic music. They're just here talking about afternoon tea and
being wholesome and yet quite almanacs. Provocative as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then a bit insane. Like this next one.
This next one is...
It's my personal favourite.
It's a very good song. It's also based on a true story as well. Autumn Almanac.
I just thought it was nonsense.
It is probably nonsense, but it is based on somebody, a real person. The track was released as a single only at the time and years later appeared as a bonus track on reissues of this album. It's since been gone on to be considered a classic 60s pop song and one of the band's best. And it's been described as a finely observed slice of English custom... and apparently was inspired by a hunchback gardener that Ray Dayfeast knew in his neighbourhood.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, so apparently this person existed. But it's a very English song, mentioning things such as roast beef, going to Blackpool, currant buns.
And just English madness.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I'm going to say something really weird, but when I was listening to that outro,
mm-hmm.
it kind of reminded me of like EDM music, like the build up to the bass.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
I mean, just thought of that now.
Is that the first ever EDM song?
Nah. I feel like EDM works off like the conventional structure of music, just like everything else, unless it's unconventionally unstructured on purpose. Anyway, I'm going to take a little break and we'll be back with our conclusion of Something Else by The Kinks, our anniversary album by The Kinks from 1967 with Sam Smith.
Please step into the Carbotron.
Come on, Karma. An easy one this time. Comfortable, white, Shaw family. What the? I'm a cola nut? This is Sierra Leone. What's going...
Oh, wow. I've never been so ethically handled.
Wait, is this the Karma Cola Factory? Okay, good. So now I'm being muddled into a refreshing cocktail at this shabby but on-trend neighbourhood eatery for... For her?
So then I punched that Nazi in the face. Here, I remixed it. So woke, babe.
Thank you, Karma.
Karma Cola, drink no evil.
They will all get sick and die. Bob will die, Kim will die, your wife will die. Understand?
No, I don't.
After the success of the dark and surreal The Lobster, Colin Farrell and writer-director-producer Yorgos Lanthimos have reunited for the killing of a sacred deer, a strange and sinister masterpiece of psychological horror.
You do realize, Stephen, we're in this situation because of you.
The Killing of a Sacred Deer, in cinemas now.
Were you at the gig on Friday?
What gig?
The Radical Maris Noise Collective. I never thought seven dudes playing saxophones would change my mind about capitalism, but hello. Then 2 hours of Nightcore remixes of Every Time We Touch.
What even?
And a white guy did a rap about feelings. So beautiful.
What?
Stay in the loop with the 95BFM Entertainment Guide. Online and on air 7 days a week, 3 times a day. 10:20 a.m., 3 p.m. and 6:20 p.m. It's gigs in that.
Kia ora, this is Morning Glory with Geneva and we're doing our conclusion for anniversary albums this week.
Yeah, so just looking at how this album was received and where it stands, the album came out and critics loved it, but it was their worst charting album to date.
Oh, come on!
It only made number 35 in the UK and a very lowly 153 in the States. I guess this was because obviously they were banned in the States, but I'm pretty sure some loyal fans would have smuggled the album.
Sabotaged.
Yeah, snuck it in there. In a review in 1968 for Rolling Stone magazine, James Pomeroy said he felt it was their best album and praised their humour, cynicism, perception and irony. And I think a lot of the fans didn't warm to their new English style because it was so new and quite out of place with the kind of young, hip, psychedelic sound that was popular at the time. I think to a lot of kids this would have sounded like old music, kind of, you know, the stuff their parents would have listened to.
I listened to this on my own accord, so...
I know. You can just bloody, you know...
I actually bought it. I bought the Kinks Greatest Hits from the warehouse for like $2.
And it's just great
and
songs.
And it changed my life.
Yeah,
so
there's so many good songs.
Came to the Kinks.
He didn't, it didn't faze Ray Davies, though. He steamed ahead down this route of kind of British culture and British themes with the next few albums and that kind of baroque pop sound, which at the time was panned. But subsequently, all these albums are now considered classics of the period. Often in hindsight, it's easy, you know, to think, oh, that was actually quite good at the time. Even though at the time I was like, not so good.
Well, I first heard the Kinks during ads. So they've had a lot of publishing contracts. And I hope that the money did actually get back to the artists instead of the record labels.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure in this instance it did.
Yeah.
This album is also now considered one of the best albums from the period. Rolling Stone ranked it in their list of the top 500 albums of all time. And legacy-wise, it's very important. I mean, the Kinks' history changed completely because of this album, and they went down a completely new direction artistically with the next few albums. They made, you know, kind of albums as albums, you know, concept albums, albums about stories, not just a few singles, you know, on an album. It was an actual full project.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to finish with... an all-time classic 60s song, one of the best songs to come out of the 60s and arguably the band's best song. Waterloo Sunset was a top 10 hit in New Zealand and went number 2 in the UK. And Rolling Stone voted it the 42nd best track of all time, and Amelia's about to cry in the corridor. Thank you very much. See you later.
Bye, Sam. See you next week.
Bye.
Oh,
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.